at this workshop, a special welcome also to the deputy chairperson of the NCP, member of this committee. We are proceeding with the workshop where we left off yesterday, and Mr. Boetes will again be the facilitator for the rest of the workshop, but also be assisted by Mr. Paul Masaka, dealing with the reports that enable accountability and oversight, and the different reports, and then also, if time allows us, to do a practical exercise, a case study. Yesterday I made the remark that this select committee on finance, but also the select committee on appropriations, become part of the training that is being given and done by the Auditor General's office. We call it APAC, the APAC training sessions. I've learned a lot in 10 years attending those training sessions when I was in the legislature to sharpen you. It's only to our own advantage to do our work better and to do it differently. There is a political tasking meeting starting at 12 o'clock, convened by the House Chair in the NA, Honorable Opella. I sent a letter that we will join them, but after the workshop here, dealing with the money bills, etc., and the way forward. So we will try to complete this workshop and adjourn then at 12:30, if possible. Mr. Boetes, I'm handing over to you. Welcome again, and thank you for availing yourself and your team to assist us. Thank you. There will be a handout, I believe.
Yes, the slides are being handed out, Chair. Chair, thank you very much, and good morning to all the honourable members, especially the Deputy Chair. It's really an honour to also have you with us today. Chair, I think we can certainly wrap up by 12:30. I think that will be possible. There is a set of slides being handed out, which is what Paul Masaka will be taking us through, and then a little bit later we'll hand out some additional documents, but we'll just keep that back until the right moment. Paul Masaka is a business executive based in the stakeholder management unit of the Auditor General, also responsible for the general reports of the Auditor General, which Paul will share some information on with you in this presentation. Paul is also has been involved with APAC and is basically in charge of the APAC Secretariat since 2003, was it, Paul? And 2002. And I'm sure Paul wouldn't mind sharing with you a little bit of information on the upcoming training that Chair referred to. But the idea of today's activity would be to get a bit more practical, really get down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of some of the principles we spoke about yesterday. Getting into some of the reports which, as we repeatedly said yesterday, information is your strength, information is your weapon for oversight, and Paul will share with you some of the key instruments or reports that you have available to you for oversight. So without further ado, if I could ask Paul to take us through that presentation.
Good morning, members, honorable members, good morning. And I'm pleased and happy to be here, maybe to also just emphasize from what Mr. Dier, yes, we've met quite a lot at APAC training sessions, that your interests are also part of our interests. Is it better? Okay, thanks. Your interests are also part of our interests because one way or another we are all enjoined in terms of the constitution of what we go to do, irrespective of whatever deficiencies we may have. So from that point of view, we are happy to assist in that. And specifically, the Auditor General has set up a unit like us. There are quite a number of units. Ours is called Constitutional Stakeholder Management. In other words, those stakeholders, that have got constitutional mandates, they've got deliverables to do. How do we help them and enable them to deliver on their mandate? Because we've got to understand them. And our belief as the Auditor General is that, and he said this also at APEC, when all the new members came for orientation, Public Accounts Committee members, all the provincial and national, he made the point that members should actually never have to struggle about research for information. You've created all, because all budget passes through Parliament. You fund us, all of us, irrespective from whatever situation. You've created all these institutions. Therefore, they should be able to give you information that you want. You shouldn't worry that much about research, because you are giving away so much money that's supposed to be helping you to do that. Whoever it is that comes before you should be able to give you that information. That must be complete, that must be timely, that must be accurate, and that must be of quality. And yours is just to demand it and have that. You shouldn't struggle about that. So we from our side, we will always be available to assist. And that's the reason why we are here. And that's the reason why the Auditor General has deemed it fit that there must be a unit that specifically looks into this, is because it can enable you to be able to do your work. And therefore, we appreciate being here. Then the report that you use to enable you to do your work, the main ones that we're going to talk about today are what we call the general reports of the Auditor General, and also the annual report of the departments, individual departments. Now, the Constitution and the Public Audit Act enjoins that the AG must at least give an accountability report per annum to the National Assembly on his or her activities. Now, the AG does produce a strategic plan which is tabled at Parliament, is free for everybody to see, and that's the one that intends and indicates what it is that he's going to do and deliver on. That gets tabled. And thereafter, he also tables an annual report himself, that this is how I performed and this is how I run my institution. The Standing Committee of the Auditor General is the one, the portfolio committee, so to speak, that reviews that. But then there's another very, very important document, the general report. That's not concerned about him, but that's concerned about South Africa, where he says to any member of, that report is available to anybody, the public, yourself, to use to say that, this is how South Africa has performed in terms of financial management. That's basically what the general report is. So we've got two types of general reports. The one that talks about the PFMA cycles, which is for the provinces and the national sphere of government, and the one that talks about local government, which is the municipal finance management cycle type of report. And there are copies that my colleague has organized now for the last year. We are at the moment finalizing. I'm still, my colleague Kubus was right, I'm finalizing the MFMA report. I'm hoping that by the end of April, I'll be submitting that report to the Auditor General for review, and then it should be able to be tabled by end of May for the immediate past cycle. But this report is as good as it was. And the reason now is why the general report. This is the idea. If you look into your work, I'm sure that we do not understand your work as much as we do, but it's our job. One of our functions is to understand what your work is and how do we make it better for you to be able to do your work, so that at the end of the day, when you manage South Africa through oversight, through your role in terms of the Constitution, then you'll do a quality life for all of us. So the general report says that it's got to be at a particular level, at your level, because you are really at a very high level, leadership level, to say that this is what South Africa has performed. And you don't have to be drawn into the details. You've got to say that this is what has happened, and the basic thing is to ask leadership that you've given budget, that this is what the AG has found. What are you going to do to correct the situation? And when? That's basically supposed to be what you're supposed to do. Unless, of course, they say the query, the report of the Auditor General. Now, we can tell you that what we contain in our report can be validated, can be proven, and what. So there should be no question about debating the internal integrity system to say, this has been found, is it right or wrong? If it is wrong, when is it going to be corrected? And what are you going to do to correct it? And can we see it in your plan that you've actually put it as part of your performance? that we are going to fix the issues that have been raised as a problem. And actually, it must be seen in a positive light that here is somebody who is actually giving you a free business advice. That's the Auditor General. He's giving you the cheapest, far cheaper than the consultants will ever charge you, saying that here is what's going wrong. The main thing is, now that I've been told it's analyzed, it's been validated, it's been proven, I found out what is incorrect, what's wrong, I've got to fix it. It's up to me to fix it, it's when I'm going to fix it, and it's up to you, as members of parliament, to monitor and evaluate that actually that has been fixed the way you wanted it to be fixed and the way that it was presented to you in the annual report. So the annual report, therefore, is a consolidated view of what has happened, because we issue for each province, we've got a provincial general report for the PFMA. And then we also similarly have provincial general report for the local government. And what we do, those are produced by the individual business units. And what we do in my unit, we actually do a consolidated view, because we are very clear that you've got management. I mean, the PFMA and the MFMA in South Africa, the South African system is such that management has been given the power and the authority to manage. And after that, they say to you, this is how we performed against the money and the budget that you've given us. And from that point of view, how do you rely on that information? And this is where the Auditor General comes into the picture, to give you a reasonable assurance that you can rely on the basis of the information that has been given. Or no, you cannot rely on that information. And therefore, then it's up to you, what am I going to do about that information? And therefore, that's as simple as we would like as the Auditor General. And that's why we would like to engage that. That's as simple as how we would like you to do that, because if we make a mistake of getting you drawn into the activities and operations, you will never come out of it. It's just going to consume all of you, and you will not be able to do. That's at a very global picture what the general report is about, and that's how we are putting it. And every time, even now after we've done the session with yourself, Gobos will be coming to you, back to you, to ask whether you were happy with the way we conducted ourselves, with the information, everything, with the sole purpose of the reason that we try to understand your concerns and needs all the time, so that we can improve on that. And over the years, we've been on an annual basis having incremental improvements on the general report, so that it meets your needs to enable you to do your job better. That's the purpose of why we are doing it. What the general report will give you is, as you'll see, is that the first thing it will give is that it will tell you what are the opinions of the Auditor General over the audits that he has conducted. At the moment, there are 283 municipalities in South Africa, and close to about 50-something entities as well. Those 283 municipalities include what we call the metros. Now, we then come and say that these are the opinions, and we give you statistics, because they also enable you to compare and to contrast. How are the different local governments and performing against each other? What are the different reasons of performance? And what are the issues that the Auditor General has found to be the stumbling blocks or the blocking issues, what we call the root causes? So it will tell you, first and foremost, which audits have we completed. And if you have not completed them, we tell you why. What were the reasons? And we can even give a view in some instance so that it enables you to do that. So we give you basically performance information of what has happened. Then we will also say that because what tends to happen, we have year in, year out to give audit opinions on general reports. So we are saying that we want to now keep a particular type of status. We're saying that since 2004 and 5, that's the five-year review to date, what has actually happened? Have we really moved significantly? Have we regressed? Or have we become stagnant? Or basically it's two steps forward, three steps? You'll find in the general report it's a bit varied. But what we are saying is that, therefore, it gives a bigger picture that, look, this is where we were 5 years ago, and this is where we are today. What are we going to do? Do we still want to have the same performance as the past 5 years, or do we want to have a better past performance? So that's why the five-year general review will come. And then, of course, on the audit outcomes of all entities that we audit, you'll find that I said on the PFMA, we've separated the legislatures now. For example, we show that yourselves as legislatures, are you also doing we say this is how US legislatures are performing. Shouldn't you also be leading by example? Shouldn't you be holding, or shouldn't you be saying that you can serve us better this way? It also gives you an opinion on that. So for the first time, we removed them from the department, the legislatures. And that's what we've done. And that's the part of information, that's the survey that I say my colleague will do, to be able to give us feedback so that we improve on how we've performed. And also maintain so that we don't become complacent, we move forward. So that's what the first part of the general report will give you, is the audit outcomes. But before that, even before the audit outcomes, the general report has got what we call the Auditor General's preface. The preface is where the Auditor General expresses, it's like a chairman's report, if you like, or the minister's report in the annual report, that this is my view of what has happened. So at your level, it enables you not to be bogged down into reading too much details, but then it also got sufficient detail to enable you to go to those specific details that you may want later on to follow up on, because every member may have particular issues of interest to him or her that he or she may want to follow up on. So it allows that. Then the general report also does give an analysis of what, or identification of the issues that over and above the actual what we have found out. It gives us a highlight on what we call key systemic issues. What are key systemic issues? We are saying, for example, when we audit all the departments, for example, or all the government, what is one thing that comes out as a system across all of them that requires to be addressed as, if you like, South Africa Incorporated, in the sense that if it's something that me, I've got to deal with as a manager, that's well and good enough, I must deal with it and it's part of my performance. But if it gets picked up that everybody else has got a problem with that, then it says government as a whole must sit down and say we've got this systemic issue that we've got to pay attention to. For example, I can tell you now, what's coming up very clearly in the coming local government report will be an issue of financial management systems. Reliable financial management system. So therefore, would it not be wise for South Africa, whoever is responsible, I don't know whether it's CETA or National Treasury or whoever, but somebody must take the responsibility as part of the deliverable state. We are going to make sure that we come with a credible, reliable management information system that's going to enable the manager to manage. Because if you deal with it as an individual business unit or a local municipality or whatever, it becomes too expensive and it's not sharing. But it must also be something that enables everybody to do that. Assets is one of the things that you find that there's a problem. So that's why the key systemic issues. And it also says that who are the other role players? That's what we are saying there in our view, that must be able to help or assist to get that thing done. Because the Auditor General, like yourself, as I said, that we are enjoined by the same principle, is there to enable South Africa to manage better. And that's why we are highlighting those things, that there are issues that want South Africa to do something about them, but there are those issues also that want those that are charged with that, the executive authorities, whether it's the mayors or the ministers or what, to deal with them in their departments because it's their portfolio. That's how the general report is structured. And you'll see that we are trying to move you away from being bogged down into the operation through the general report. And then, of course, we do an analysis of the audit qualification areas and what are the root causes. And the root causes is where we ask ourselves, say, for example, we say that we found that as a finding, that we've given a disclaimer of audit opinion. Basically, this is where the Auditor General says, I could not find information to express an opinion. Now, a disclaimer is very scary because it says that, let's say these guys have got a 500 million rand budget, for example. It says that basically we don't know of the 500 million rand that we've issued how it was spent. We cannot be sure about it. That's basically what the disclaimer says. It says, I cannot, the things are such that I'm not able to tell you what has happened with the money. That's what's happening. Now we say, why is that the case? That's what the root cause is. So we found out this is happening. Okay, the second thing we'll tell you why we are saying that. We'll tell you that there were, for example, no receipts for revenue. We could not get sufficient receipts to tell us how much money. We don't know whether the money that you've got, that you've collected, is the total money that you're supposed to be collected in the first instance. And secondly, we're not sure that you've collected it all, or we're not sure that what you've recorded is accurate. We don't know that. So we're not sure whether it's complete or it's accurate. Yes. But the other thing, we can also say the same thing about expenditure. We actually don't know what you spend, what you spend on and everything. Now, so we will tell you that that's the reason why it's a disclaimer. Then we go to the third level. That's the root cause. And then we say, but why? We'll ask you, why were you not able to do that? Is it because you don't have people? Is it because you do not have the skills? Is it, what is it that have caused you not to be able to do that? Then we go to the second level of the why. If that's the reason why were you not able to have the people? Is it because somebody did not do his job? Is there somebody who's supposed to hire people? Then this person, so we keep on probing and digging down into what is the actual reason why. So that we then tell the management, this is what you've got to tell. And when we come to you, and this is the good thing about the system that the Auditor General, the audit process that it follows, whatever is tabled by the Auditor General in front of you, no one of the audit team can claim not to know. We tell them about themselves before we come to talk to you about them. The law wants us to come to talk to you, but we go in further. We talk to them first about themselves, and we tell them we are going to talk about them because the law requires us to talk about them to yourself. So there is no one who can claim does not know when they come to the Auditor General. And that's what the general report is. Then what we also do, we come with issues that we call the warning signals. Warning signals are basically, it's like a dashboard on the car when you drive. That if you do not take petrol, you are going to get stuck. Yes, it's a very nice car, you are on the road, you are cruising. If you do not pour petrol, you are going to get stuck. That's what it says. In other ways, it says, be careful of complacency. Those are the issues that if you do not pay attention to them, you may find yourself that you would have regressed sooner than, because that's what happens. Most, if you look into what was most successful companies, why they've fallen, that's because complacency has crept in. That's what has killed quite a number of companies. They started not monitoring the things that they were supposed to monitor. It became laissez-faire and what. So we are warning, therefore, and say, please take care of these things. Make them part of your performance management system. Because once you look at them and perform for them, then we'll be able to do that. And contrary to belief, the Auditor General's performance highlighting, deficiency highlighting, is actually not supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to be saying you can do something about it. Obviously, where you found that things have not happened because people were basically grossly negligent, they were not doing their job, they didn't care, that's a different matter. But our idea is to find out what's wrong so that it can do something about it. So it's not intended from our point of view as a punitive exercise. It's something that's supposed to be here is a partner who's helping us finding out about our own organization so that we can perform better and become better people. So it was never ever intended as a punitive exercise. And that's a popular belief. It's how other people tend to use it. But that's not what our intention is. Our intention is to find the root causes and to talk. We even engage. We talk to them. I'm sure that my colleague Justin, his director, when he was talking yesterday, he explained to you the engagements that we are doing because we want to see things corrected. So we don't want, we also don't want to report the same thing year in, year out. It's not fun. So we would like to be able to see progress for South Africa. That's what the warning signals are about. And Chairperson and Deputy Chairperson, I may just say that we are available to engage. Actually, when the new report, sometime in April or early May, the AG is going to talk down to the NANCOP about the outcome of the current report that I'm saying, I'm in the process, we're in the process of finalizing. And we would be prepared again in this committee to kind of engage you further on that particular report and take you there through that report. We'll be prepared to do that. We are also available for that for you. The general report will then go to specific areas that we believe are a problem. I've given an example of key systemic issues. One of the things that we'll find there, we give the results of audit of information systems. The world has moved so fast that today, even if you are not computer literate or you are not a computer expert, most of the issues that you use on your day-to-day basis, they are generated by information systems. So it's a very important element today to look into. Whatever is electronic information system, technology. So we also go to their end results and check them. Are they good? Can they be relied on? On the PSMA report of the past PSMA that the AG did, he did give warning, for example, that It's still time the National Treasury to stand up and do something quickly about the system that we have. It's very easy that the government system can be broken into by the whiz kids, and we can just lose money very big time. So it is that part of a warning. So that's one of the reasons why we give on that and check them. Are they good and control? And when you find out, you'll be surprised, members. And that's what the general code is about. When you find out, in most instances, by and large, what has gone wrong, you'll find that it's the basic things that have not been done. It's not huge things that requires an Albert Einstein to come and fix. It's just a simple thing that people don't change their passwords as required. Behaviors, you know, those types of things. People don't do what is required, what you are told by this. It's like on the car. When you buy your car, you've got a handbook. They tell you every 15,000 kilometers, service it. Every time when you do this, you don't do that, then you get surprised when you get stuck. So it's those types of issues there. It's not, and that's what the general report is about. We are trying to simplify it as good as possible because the intention is for you to be able to use it to be able to do your job. And then we also look into issues that impact or that we believe can also enable you to pay attention to South Africa as a whole. And those are the significant findings from audits of, for example, human resource management and compensation of employees. And we call it a transversal audit. We look at certain things and say that what across all the departments can we look at? For example, you'll agree that the biggest employer in South Africa is the government. There is no one company that has got more employees than government. And if employees are the biggest asset that the government has got, we want to see that those issues that pertain to this biggest asset, how are they managed? And you'll be surprised at the findings that you'll find. And they will tell you, that's why we say we go to the root causes, they will tell you why some of the things are not going well. You'll find out why. Simple, basic things not being followed up. That's what we do on those. That's one of the things that we'll find. And then we talk about the audit of performance information. Now, with the audit of performance information, we have actually not yet started to give an opinion because we said that our approach as the auditor general is to say that if we know that we are going to find that something is wrong, why go and audit it? Why don't we rather discuss it and agree that it's not right, fix it. And once you fixed it, then we can come and audit. Because that's what an audit is supposed to be. That's why I say it's not fun for us to come and find list and list of horrible and not findings. We know that something is wrong. Fix it first. The audit is supposed to make you be better all the time. That's what it's supposed to help you with. It's supposed to say, I'm giving you reasonable assurance that the report that you've received, it's basically a report that we can rely on to use to make decision making. Whatever action, whatever decisions, whatever plans, whatever we're going to do based on this report, it will be based on the level of information that there's a good basis for doing that. That's basically what it will have to is saying about the audit. That's what we intend to do. Therefore, if we find out something is wrong, it will force you to be bogged down. That's for management to go and fix that. Management. Let me just give you an example. For example, management, we give them also management reports that do not come to you as members of parliament. For example, when we give you a general report and we read what you say about the say, Department of Defense, for example, just as an example, and what the annual report says, just a little bit too much, but their management report is more than 700 pages. Of those things that they must do, you don't need to have them. That's what you've got to fix. That's why you pay them the good salaries that they are getting to go and do and perform that job. You need them to go and do that. But for you is to make sure that they actually do that, to assure you on behalf of South Africa that what they are supposed to do, they are doing. That's basically what we are doing. And therefore, the general report will take it at that level. So the audit of performance information is something that tells you that, okay, this is the report that you've done. We've checked the receipts. We've verified these things have happened. But is the information basis that was used to produce that information itself reliable? In other words, is equivalent to audit of service delivery. That KNO then now is the second level. So we have not started giving on it because generally, by and large, government is not ready. But we do start giving hints on it in an attempt to get the departments to be ready to get that right. That's the audit. For example, it will tell you, on the three main things, it will tell you whether everything that was supposed to be done in terms of the law has been done or not. For example, local government, their plans and strategic plan must be done on the basis of IDP. That must have been consulted and what. Now, the AG will tell you that that was not done. Now, what it says, including yourselves as members, please let's not have rules and regulations that we don't use. Then remove them. Because we are creating a culture. If we are going to have laws, I was listening to Minister Bundele this morning, he said, South Africans just don't obey the traffic laws and what and everything. And what's wrong? We've got to do something. Because then, if you think about it, scary. What culture are we creating? Can we really agree that before we know it will be like Italy where they can't just root out the mafia? Because they are not nipping it at the bud. So that's one of the things that will come on the audit of performance information. That is, they've given you this, but what they've done is what they wanted to do. They've decided to ignore whatever you said, this is how it must be done. They did not do it, and they did it the way they wanted to do. So why did you tell them to do that that way in the first instance? That's the one thing that comes. And then it will also tell you whether the information is reliable or not. And it will tell you whether the information is complete or not, or whether the information is of quality. That's what the audit it will tell you. And you'll find that even in the general report, most of those people that have got good clean audit reports on the financial management now, on the AOPI, is still questioning. But we are saying, no, it must start being together. And from 2011-12 financial year, the AG is going to start giving actually audit opinion on that. So there is a lot of work. So you can imagine that there is so much that you've got to oversee that we cannot afford, and that's what the general report is intended, to do that. You cannot afford to be allowing yourself to be bogged down into the nitty-gritty of what's happening. It's just to ask that the AG has found out that this is wrong. Do you agree that this is a standard to which you should have done and you have not done yet? Then no argument any further. What are you going to do about it and by when? And when are you going to report to us that it's done? And then the AG can verify again. That's basically what we intend to do. And then there's further additional information. For example, there's Joint Finance Committee, we've got consolidated financial statements that we give there. Because of the way South Africa is structured, it's not actually audited per se. Because there are different financial years and what every national treasury is trying to do that. But we do give a statement on consolidated financial statements. And we also indicate to you just on issues of compliance, issues of tabling of annual reports. And then you'll also find out that we tell you that there are performance audits or investigations or special audits that we have done. These are the ones, what is the stage, whether they've been tabled and what, so that you may go and find out there. So the general report is exactly that. It gives a general view on financial management, what it is that has happened. And of course, we give you an excess for further information. But over and above that, right here in Cape Town on Parliament Towers, we've got our staff that will be there that we can look for a suitable arrangement to be able to engage you on any issues that we want to engage us on. I think this is the same thing, but it was on the MFMA. So my discussion was basically combining the TFMA and the MFMA general report as well, because we are not going into the details. Now, why the report? And this is the importance of institutions like the Auditor General and maybe the reason why you should be able to engage us. The law says, the Constitution says, executive authorities must provide to yourself with full and regular reports concerning matters under their control. And this is to enable you, in terms of the MFMA, Section 127 of the MFMA, and I may add that you are part of the process that passes those laws. So therefore, you'd be interested to say that what you've passed is obeyed. So basically, your report or the, your function is dependent on reports. And that's why the Auditor General is an important institution to you, because it says to you, here is what management or what the government or the executive has given me. Can I rely on that information? And the Auditor General does that for you. And now you remember at the beginning I said that I believe in the Auditor General, and he said that, that, you know, you've got so many information, all you've got to really do is to require that information, to ask for that information. Statistics South Africa should be able to verify information that for you that isn't reliable. Treasure, those people are there as professionals, and they've got powers and immense authority and resources to be able to do that and give you reliable information. So you are not supposed to, therefore, be worried about issues of research and what. So you are supposed to rely on that information. The only thing is that it must be credible, reliable information, and that's what we are there for. So, therefore, it's important that, because most of your function is through a report done to you, then you become an expert in knowing how to use that report to be able to find that. Because remember, you are dealing with people that are very expert at what they do every day. You are a generalist. You deal with many things. You are not an expert on a specific particular area. They are in the areas that they work on. And therefore, it's important that, therefore, there is proper engagement and discussion on how to be able to use these reports. I think that's the main thing, and that's the intended thing. The first part of the annual report is basically to say that its structure must be consistent with the strategic plan content. We know that there may be changes because of the new way that government intends to do things. Clusters are going to change, the outcomes and what, but for now, the principles will not change in terms of what the report is. What always happens, and this is what you do when you pass budget, because, and maybe let me step back to say the obvious to you, every time when we deal with the annual report, we should not, and when I say we should not, I'm talking about us, because we help you verify the information. We're talking about us as a particular people that enforces oversight, one way or another. We should not forget that South African system of government is based on the constitutional democracy that says that you've got an independent executive, you've got an independent judiciary, and of course you've got independent legislative. Now, the legislative function, like yourself, says that the only power that you've got, basically, if you look about it, is to either pass or not pass the budget. But not passing the budget is so serious that actually it can stop, if you like, the country to hold. And hence, therefore, that during in year, it's very important that you put your foot down and say certain things have been done. But also that the information that you use to be able to do that is a credible, reliable information. So the annual report, therefore, must be one thing that you understand and know how you are going to be able to get to the root cause and the issues that must be addressed and fixed. That's what it is. And that's the reason why it was a good thing that you decided that we want to help us say, how do we deal with the annual report? It's very important. In private sector, I may tell you that the board, because they've got also more powers and not and everything, they appoint themselves also audit firms that help them specifically, that any matter that goes to them is analyzed and not for them. Yourself, you don't have to go to that details like a board, but you've got institutions like the Auditor General, amongst others, to be able to tell you this. I mean, the Public Service Commission should be able to give you whatever information you want them to do about, for example, public service management in South Africa, you know, all those types of things. That's what you've got to do. So the general report at the moment, the annual report has got the general information. Then it tells you about the department program of performance. It tells you about service delivery improvement plans. It's got human resource management, finance, statutory bodies, organization structure. It's got all that. That's what it's reporting on. But what's more important there, it's what it will also say, it is going to tell you about predetermined measurable objectives. And that's what you'll find in their performance program. And that's what, at the end of the year, you should be able to look for. For example, the reporting program. This is based on measurable, and I'm emphasizing, it's predetermined. They determine upfront measurable objectives. They come to you and say that this is what you are going to achieve. And therefore, the first thing, when they give you an objective, therefore, the objective must be SMART. The most important principle, is it realistic, is it achievable first and foremost, that objective? Does it got a timeline? Is it measurable? How will we know that we've achieved that? That's what it's got to have. That's why we say it must be smart. And then, at the end of the year, as I said, if this is what they said they're going to do, did they actually do that or not? And once you say, they say to you that, no, it has not happened, we've achieved it, or we are stagnant and all, then they've got to tell you what it is that made them to do better so that we can replicate with others that are struggling, or to find out you are not moving, what it is, what needs to be done, where is the problem, and then if they've not achieved, also tell you what are the reasons. And you will be able then to exercise your judgment whether you accept those reasons or not, of their achievement or non-achievement. But the most important thing, again, and that's one of the reasons of the engagements of the report and understanding this, are what they are telling you, consistent with your own experience. When you go and visit the constituencies and understand what are the reasons, do they to reconcile? It sounds simplistic, and that's the whole thing about management, that you'll find that most of the issues that actually break down is about operational issues. It's not strategy, it's not all those big, hairy, glory, what, it's as simple as that. These guys, we've agreed that we've given them money for this. Have they achieved it or not? If they've not achieved it, why? And why they say that they've achieved it? From my own other information experience elsewhere, does this care? For example, your constituencies on the ground, what do they tell you? But another example, the Auditor General report, what does it say? Those are the types of issues that are insights or key insights for you to be able to check whether you are satisfied with what they've given you. And then, again, under part of the annual report, the accounting officer must give you a report. The audit committee must give you a report. Now, all those people, it's supposed to be part of their performance that they do that. Otherwise, we don't need those structures. Why do we need an audit committee that is not going to give you a report? It can't just be a report. The most important thing about the audit committee, for example, would be to find out. You are a supplement to assist management and indicate to management what's wrong. Have you indicated that or not? Did you engage with the Auditor General? What does the Auditor General say? Most audit committee reports have just become a normal compliance because. But once you start using them yourself as members, that will change because then they know that there is an interest that's coming. So you've got a significant role to play to be able to. Sometimes you say that. Tell your audit committee, the chairperson, they are going to tell us next time what it is that they are doing and how they are improving to verify what they say. Why is it not consistent with what the general is saying? Of course, the report on finance will also have appropriation statements and notes. It will have the statement of financial performance. It will have the statement of financial position. The statement of changes in net assets. The changes in net assets is very important because it tells you on the basis of assets where the money gone to. What has been gotten rid of, what has been bought, and what is the net. And we are able to also ask why. And for people that are as busy as yourself, in my view, the statement of changes in net assets and the cash flow statement are also very critical. Actually, Mr. Vieira, I don't know if you were there in Malawi when we did training. I was surprised that the members from Kenya and Malawi, they said, gee, we should open our eyes. I said, that's the very most important statement. If you are not able to use any others, don't try to become a financial expert. You are not. But if you can just go to that one and master the cash flow statement and the statement of changes in there, it tells you a lot. Because it makes you ask the questions rather than that are very simple. Where people, it makes management be the one to explain to you more and more rather than you asking difficult questions. Because if you go to the other statement, balance sheet and income statement. It requires you to understand accounting, graph, and now with it. These other two statements, you don't need that. if you understand what it means. Because once you say that, this is what this statement means, and you are able to turn around and say, but tell us, what happened to this money? We see that, what has happened? And it should be surprising that you have people that are not able to tell you about what happened to the money, because when you look into the government department, we're talking about big money. And then, of course, it's got accounting policies, those to the annual financial statement disclosure. Those issues, most of them are important for you, for reference, for checking details and what. But as I say, the most important statement will be that. And then, of course, we can later on look and associate it with the Auditor General's report on the audit of performance information. I think we can go to a quick example later on, but maybe just for discussion on what was presented, elaboration and what, and maybe as a breather, just to think and see what we've done so far. It could be around time for that, Mr. Ibier, and we don't know.
There's 15 minutes for questions. We guide you to this presentation.
Yes, yes. Thanks, Chair. Mr. Masuka, tell me, in most instances, if for an example, I go to a meeting where the department is going to present its report, because one of the important tools that I might use would be the strategic plan that they submitted at the beginning of the year. And now they are submitting their report, their report at the end of that particular financial year, maybe into the next financial year. But in that report, wouldn't it be simple if it was to be made part of the format that there would be a page or two in metric form that will indicate what was actually planned and whether those things have been achieved or not? Because most of these reports, when you read, they will only report based on the assumption that the listener is aware of what was planned at the beginning of the year. And in most instances, you find that we don't go to these meetings having those set plans as a tool to assess this department again. So I'm saying, would it not be easier for us if such kind of a table is a permanent feature in the format of this report? That would be number one. Two, in your experience, what would be the reason for differences in the department's audit committee report and the Auditor General's report, the audit report itself? Why I'm asking this question, because I'm always under the impression that at least what I will hear from the audit committee report should be as much close to what I will hear from the Auditor General. But in most instances, you find audit committees saying something that is in line generally with what the department will report. Everything is okay, But when you go to the auditor's report, you find a completely different story. Now, I mean, as a layman, you ask yourself, but the audit committee should be composed of people at least who understand the process of auditing and who should be helping the department not to even reach a situation where, because if the audit committee is performing its duties and making sure that the department complies and raises issues as they should, we shouldn't be having a situation where, that is in my view, where one department gets disclaimer year in and year out, disclaimer, advert, all those things. Yet they have these audit committees. So what in your experience, without making a speech, could be the reason why this audit committee in most instances submits a report that seems to be pleasing the department accounting officer
instead of at least saying things that we would expect to hear from the judge. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Dr. Masoff. I think the presentation is doing a lot in order to assist on oversight. You've made a statement on stakeholders who ignore recommendations that you have made year in and year out, and then they just stick on their old way of doing things. If for the first year they do it, perhaps it's a mistake. The second year they do it, I'm not sure what that is, and the third year they do it. It's quite clear, I mean, that there's no intention on the part of this particular stakeholder to revert to proper accounting methods which are acceptable. Now, in terms of the proposal that you make when you come against examples of this nature, well, I have in mind some of the municipalities that we have been to, but also in particular the defense department, which for the past 10 years it has just been qualifying. And they also inform you when they make a presentation that we are going to qualify. I mean, we are also going to have a disclaimer the following year. Will only be able to turn the corner perhaps within the next 5 years. It's a department that is telling you that. So what proposals do you make? What recommendations do you make with respect to this particular type of stakeholders? And then secondly, do you also make proposals on training programs for some of the stakeholders? And then thirdly, are there situations in which you convince yourself that the particular stakeholder is not prepared to adjust and therefore you recommend punitive action to take place, or even with the purpose of, I mean, for instance, with the purpose of punitive action taking place? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, members. Maybe the first one, Chani, that you asked about the report format. Indeed, the report formats actually are supposed to be that way. But I think also you can even make to enable your oversight additional needs requirements to National Treasury, because National Treasury, there's a specific department that set up. I think it's the Department of the Accountant General that particularly set up those structures, also based on what government is doing. But in terms of the program, on the basis of the performance, that's how it's supposed to be. The current one, for example, that we got under Program 3 on page 115 of the Department of Education, it's supposed to tell you that when they report that this was a strategic objective and these were the performance measures, 15, page 115 on the annual report of 2008 and 2009 for the Department of Education. Now, it tells you that these were the performance measures, and then these were the activities that they've done, that was the time frame, what were the performance indicators, what were the achievements, what were the comments. So, and that's why I was saying that I agree with you, you cannot be a walking letter. There's too much information that passes through you. It would never be proper to be able to do that. The annual report, it's actually, as we say, let me step back again. I've spoken at the beginning and said that, for example, with the Auditor General, We've got an accountability report, which is the general report that tells you about South Africa Incorporated. But the auditees or the departments tell you about themselves, what they've done. Therefore, there are two most important reports that they deal with when they deal with you. And remember that you deal with many departments, so you don't even have to remember them. You've got to have that information, and rightfully so, when you want it. They submit a strategic plan, which you approve on budget. The annual report is actually performance against the strategic plan. So you cannot have an annual report that does not refer to, first and foremost, what was done. Because the reason why you are giving budget, you are giving the person the resources and the authority and the power to deliver on what he has promised, he or she has promised in the strategic plan. Therefore, when they come here, they must say to you, this is what we've promised you, and this is how we've done about it, and this is how it's supposed to be reported back to you. So then you don't have to scratch your way is what. And you can also make any further additional information that you're looking for, if need be. That can be then recommended to the regulator. They will always be glad and willing to do that, because I know that they have a permanent representative here. But we are also able to give them feedback. But what I'm saying to you, it is not a brain in the sense that it's supposed to be that way in the first instance. As you can see from the Department of Education, they've done that. Yeah. Then you can start applying your mind whether you are happy with the quality and substance of the report. That one is a given. If it's not happening, it is something that you are supposed to insist on as members. And that's something that we can demand from the executive authority, that we've got to have these things done this way. And that's why I'm saying that you may, probably South Africa are at a stage now when you look into constituencies where people are and what, and the fact that all of us are interested in preserving our democracy, where we tell the department, we may even not give you funding for certain specific programs until such time that you're going to get your house in order. Because unfortunately, and coming back to Ms. Mundit, unfortunately, we've got a very unique system, different from the others in Africa. I can tell you about the experiences we've seen last week in World Bank, what the other departments, other countries are doing. I'm not so sure whether it's a good thing to do, because what we are saying is the power that we've got is the one that's based on our constitutional democracy, where we've got the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative bodies independent, and the ultimate arbiter being the constitutional court. So therefore, they must understand that it's about time that those departments that are serial offenders, Mr. Munsis, we will start stopping for those programs and rather take, let's divert those to those people that need it and are able to deliver but they don't have resources. Because we cannot be throwing bad money after good money after bad and things like those. I think it's as simple as that, that's the power that you've got. The Auditor General does not have the power. It's the power only to report and indicate to both management and yourself what has gone wrong. And it's for you and for the minister and the executive authorities to be able to do something about it. And the biggest only power that you've got is basically, unfortunately, with the budget. It's not necessarily a bad system. It's got good checks and balances. It's the fact that I think maybe to date there's been too much complacency on requirement for performance generally. We have not held people accountable and responsible for what they are supposed to perform on. I think that's my view on it. It's not that the systems that you've got do not work or work in everything. I think when I started, I indicated under the warning signals, we are saying that we are creating a culture of rampant disregard for everything. And probably every day when we wake up, we still got 24 hours. We can start now and think, but we are going to start instituting it, to say it. And not try to change too many systems. I've seen in other countries, last week where the World Bank, where they started doing this and what, more laws and what and everything. I actually believe that have we enforced effectively what we've got now? We don't know whether it can work or not because we have not effectively enforced it. And I think that's the key for now. So my view is that the report has got to be that way. And then the question should be now, what are we going to do? If it's not happening that way, Mr. Chwani, then it also goes to exactly the same thing that you are talking about. This is rampant disregard for you. You are not given the information that is a requirement that you must get. What more about the one that you are going to ask for as additional information if they can't give you the one that you already provided for? I think that would be my take on it. And with regard to the audit committee, again, the law is very clear on what their role is. And there is a thinking now that says maybe police committee should be reporting to the minister, because they are not reporting the way they are supposed to be doing when we check the reports. Actually, National Scope has proposed and APEC has accepted that they are going to also start making police committees a focus. That we consistently see differences between what the audit committees are saying and what the auditor general is saying. And the departments, no department so far has differed with the auditor general. We agree that what the auditor general is saying is true. So therefore, we want to ask these guys to come and account. But tell me, what it is that you do, audit committee? If the auditor, and remember, the auditor general comes once a year after the process is bolted. But they are there as part of department and management to help monitor and make sure things are happening. So I think that's a valid question, and they've got to be asked those questions. Why? Why? What's happening and why is it not happening? It's a valid question. We also ask ourselves, but what you'll see on the coming general report, let me tell you what last year's general report on the 0708 MFMA, the general auditor general report on. We've got a section called 5.3. My colleague will be distributing that. Maybe if you do that quickly, here is
it. Yeah, I just wanted to make a
follow up.
Yeah, just on a point of clarity. Thank you. You see, with your office, it's understandable that your office does not have power to persecute. But what I'm actually arguing about is the power, at least the responsibility on your part to make recommendations. We ourselves, as the legislature, through the public protector, we can be able to take anybody to court. We have got those powers to actually act. But now, in terms of some of the recommendations that you have to make, in a municipality that you can see that they are actually trying their best, or an entity that is trying their best but is not getting there, you can be able to make a recommendation probably about the type of training that should be there. But also with those that ignore delivery over a period of time, you know, that type of recommendation for forensic experts to come in, then you are giving a hint to the public representative that this is a case that has to be persecuted. So it's within our power if we engage the public protector. We have got those powers to persecute. I understand that. It's in terms of what recommendations do your office make. Thank you.
I will come to that one because yes, I think the one was this serial and chronic defaulters. The other one was what training programs. And then, of course, the other one was what punitive measures. I just answered the last part, but I will be coming to the one on training. But I just want to link something first with what you've raised and what Mr. Chani has done. On page 49 on this report, and the new one to left, you'll see that we're reporting on the same information but different. On page 49 of this report, that's section 5.3, performance against good practice indicators by municipal entities, for example. And we've got the same one for municipalities. Now, what we are saying there, we had identified six things that, as a start for financial management, these things are not there. If they are fixed, they could go a long way. And it was internationally benchmarked that where these things have happened, the audit opinions were different, that people did not have clear trail of supporting documentation that is easily available and provided on time. There was no quality of financial statements and related management information, and timeliness of financial statements and related management information, availability of key officials during audits, development and compliance with risk management and good internal control and governance practices, and leadership, supervision, and monitoring. Now, I'm going to go to number five, Mr. Chwani,
yes.
And to yourself, Mr. Mutis, on the basis of the serial offenders and what action to take. Number five says compliance with risk management and good internal and control and governance practices. That's the role of audit committees. amongst others. First, there's the rule of management. And secondly, there's the, on page 49, on that section 5.3, there's a table. Yes, number 5 of that. It says development of and compliance with risk management and good internal control and governance practices. Now, only 27% did that. Is it no wonder then? That's why I was saying, why don't we enforce what we've got now? Is it no wonder that we are not having the things correct? Now, and that's part of the audit committee's mission. So, not doing their job first. And I know I'll come to last to the one of training, and I'll explain why I'm saying that. And then, number 4, it also says availability of key officials during audits. Now, if you've got a manager and is responsible for a huge budget, and audit is being happening, they are not even available for audit. That's again disregard. That's just an indicator. And I want to say this, that, you know, most of our departments and municipalities, their budgets are even bigger than Anglo-American and all mutuals of this world. You should think about it. We're talking big money. Now, if somebody is entrusted with such big money, and audit is happening, he's not there to come and account and use this money. What culture and attitude is that? It is those simple things that I said. They would be surprised on financial management. It's the simple things that are not getting done. And then number 2, you'll find that basically there was no leadership monitoring and evaluation on some of the things. Now, Mr. Mutis, is that I cannot recommend training program because management should be the first one to pick it up, if it was the case. This tells you that this is why maybe we must be careful, not try to come with solutions for them. Because we tend to believe, to become sympathetic, that maybe the skeptics don't know and what's wrong. But this tells you that they are first and foremost not doing what they are supposed to be doing. So how do we know that they need training if they've never even attempted to do what they were supposed to be doing? I think that's the picture that I want to say, that to recommend training, it must be have proven that the person does not have the competence, the skills, and the what, we identify them. And those ones that you're talking about, you'll only find that it's number 1 and 2. But number 2 also says that it's quality of financial statements and related management information. You cannot obviously go and appoint a farmer to become a CFO. Because for you to become a CFO, you must be specifically trained. At APEX conference last year, it did not go well down, but it was the truth. One of the presenters said, you know, some of the things are very simple. Why do you appoint somebody for the role that is not suited for? What did you expect to get? And he asked the question, all of you here, would you allow somebody who's not a pilot just because he's a buddy to go and pilot you in the plane? Would you risk your life doing that? If you would not do that with your life, why do you do that with public money? I think it is that you would not have that problem if you had the right people that knew that. To the extent that there are those that will tell you that they have done well, that you know what? We are a small municipality. We cannot afford a CFO and what and everything. We've only got people that can do up to this level. When we come to the difficult technical stuff, we've appointed that accounting firm to come and fix the difficult, complex one for us. Because we will not be able to compete, say, with the metro. If you understand what I'm saying. So there's nothing wrong with consultants if they're appointed to bridge a gap on the capacity or skills that you do not have. But not to come and do the job that you are supposed to do, that you get paid for. That's the difference. So before we say training program, Mr. Mutis, then I'm coming back to you. That's why I went round about it. That is it only training, or is it training the predominant issue? If training is the predominant issue, you will see, if again we go to page 115, the one that I was talking about, you will see that part of management's strategic plan would be to say that I'm going to empower and train my people, because he would have assessed that they need empower and training and development. That's what management would have done. That's first and foremost the management job to do. I think in that roundabout way, I was trying to do that. And I think if you look into that, therefore, in basically the basic outcomes are the simple thing that if we first try to hold management responsible for what they are supposed to do, and they must come with plans, tell you. Because if you recommend training, the danger is to say that I wanted to get rid of the person, but you said actually I must train the person. Now, they deflect it back to you because you made a specific recommendation. That's why it's very simple. This is wrong. You are a manager to do that. What are you going to do about it, and by when are you going to do about it? Being careful not to be drawn into the issues that you are supposed to solve. But if the person says, I can't do that, then say, thank you very much, then you can not do the job. Let's get somebody else who's capable and willing. And most of the time is willing and willing to do the job, to come and do the job. I think that that in a rounded way, Mr. Chair and Mr. Mudisi, it's basically the message that I prefer to say, rather than say yes. Where it's necessary, we found that there are no skills. We do recommend them. And there are many trainings available.
Yes, it's one thing to share the people for training, but how do you know that they can apply that they were trained on? And you can only know that when they write a test. Put them through the motions. If I study at university, I must write an exam to get my certificate or my diploma or my degree. When you've got that, you've passed it. But just to go on training for the sake of training or attend a workshop, how do you know as the facilitator that the people that I was lecturing can go and apply that we trained them on? Are they competent? And we must get to that point. More questions? I see the hands. I'm a Mela.
Actually, I would like to know, when is the evaluation of people done to actually then be able to say whether they are capable of doing the work? If it's just little gap that they need to actually improve on, what strategies are in place?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think this table 12 with these numbers 1 up to 6, 0.4 on the availability of KV management during audit, and also 0.5 on compliance. I think, to me, they indicate that it's much more serious. It's not the question of, we have been to municipalities and when we conducted oversight work. And in one municipality, there was a teacher who was appointed as a CFO. Mm. And the teacher probably graduated in English language, which has got nothing to do with finance. But that municipality was quite confident that this person would be able to achieve. And it was quite clear that you are not able to. You see. And the municipality was also aware. Now, in other municipalities, we had CFOs and MMs who were below matric, you see. And they even told us, no, that the highest tier is matric. You see. Now, in that type of scenario, we are aware that the municipalities are not going to be able to manage that one. And that two, even though they are taken through the training program, they resort back to their old ways of doing things. You see? They ignore good practice. It's deliberate. Now, I'm not quite sure at what stage are we going to be able to pronounce that a certain percentage of municipalities are actually manned by corrupt officials. I understand it's a very harsh statement to make, But the truth of the matter is there is rampant corruption taking place in the municipality to an extent where public resources are actually being looted on a daily basis. That's what's happening. It's looting that is what's happening. You have indicated about the issue of training. It's not training. It's not that they require training. Because you train them, they ignore. They go back. So, on the punitive side, I understand that it should be the legislature that rolls with the ball. And probably with the aid of the ministry. If the ministry does not aid the legislature, it means the legislature must go on its own in order to resolve this problem. But otherwise, there is rampant corruption that is taking place. Public looting of the funds. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, it's, yesterday I think I asked a question whether the Auditor General has noticed any relationship between the use of consultants and the status of the audit opinions. I just wanted to expatiate a little bit on that particular matter because if a municipality acquires the services of a consulting firm to do the financial statements over 1 month, I'm actually looking at a situation where they have to produce a product before the 4 weeks elapses. And given the situation that such municipalities that will do that would, under normal circumstances, be small municipalities. And therefore, you may likely have a problem of record keeping of source documents and misplacement of costs under different headings, not placed under the correct codes. Will that particular consulting firm have any worry to look and correct those things, or will they just simply put together the document and submit it? Are certain municipalities not being given adverse audit opinions only because those consultants just did not have or give themselves enough time to actually assist the municipalities in organizing their books? The other thing is on the very same issue of consultants is that certain municipalities like as Paul has indicated that they would say we will plug that one gap by bringing in consultants to do that difficult thing. The problem is that that municipality, whether it has the capacity to say that difficult thing has been completed correctly, or it's just simply that those consultants now they have done the difficult thing, then whoever is the CFO then just signs because they've got not the capacity to supervise that work. That's the problem that I'm having. That whether do we really, as a policy matter, do we really have to agree with this thing that consultants will be appointed to come and do certain work on behalf of the municipality on the basis that they don't have people that are capable to do that? Because I believe that if you employ people to come and do some work, there must be a person who's qualified to do that work, but because of time constraints, he can't do that work, but he's got the capacity to say the work has been completed correctly. Now, if people come and do the work that you have got no capacity in the institution, that means at the end of the day, the municipality relies on outside people to do the work and complete it, and then they just simply put their heads and sign for it. And that, I think that is is a hell of a risk. Thanks, Chairman.
Thanks, Chair. Just a quick one. On page 4, you were clarifying how you don't report on the, or you don't currently assimilate the auditor's performance information of the it's the second page when you're reviewing the general report of the auditor general. Bullet point 3. I mean, I understand your reasons for not doing that, but where does that leave us if we're looking for a general impression of performance? If you're not producing it, how do we get that general perspective? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is in the form of a control. Let me tell you about the policy environment. Some of the managers, you know, it's not every manager, whether it's having that certificate of finance and everything, but if he or she doesn't have that ability to control and command, they don't put you there. They can rather say, okay, you have got the post, but they will give you another line because they want a person who can, when the audit general sometimes brought the report, said, okay, here are the mistakes. You must have a person to monitor and even force that, you know, I want this thing by when. You know, not everybody having some qualification can definitely have the ability to call, to control and lead.
You know, Chairperson, since yesterday, I was sitting and listening and trying to ask myself some of the questions that would take us forward in terms of our own work as members of Parliament with respect to oversight in general. Particularly around what kind of action we need to take going forward. Having listened, having read so many reports from the Auditor General, special reports, whatever you call them, around particular department, is it not time for us to really set up some limits on certain departments, especially those Honorable Monsisi has alluded to, those habitual, you know, transgressors, to simply say that we are giving you so many months to fix your books, or else heads must fall. I think we need to reach that stage now, as a member. Not dilly-dally. I could give you many examples of municipalities I know have been audited, special reports, but those councils are sitting with those reports. They're not doing anything. Serious fraud hasn't taken place, and they're just sitting with them. Instead, they are fighting whether to deal with the report or not. They're fighting amongst themselves. For instance, if you speak at table, that report will remove you from country. That's the kind of things that are happening at municipal level. I know one municipality doing that. I know that the audit report is damning on some of the officials and some of the councillors. So I'm saying it's not time that we should take this leap forward, major leap forward, and really clean ourselves to begin with, because it's a serious indictment on us as overseers of this department really, for many years now, we've been sitting and dilly-dallying on what action we should be taking going forward. I know now National Assembly is debating whether to call ministers or not. They're at that level now. I'm not sure whether there will be answers, but mine would simply be that let's set timeline and bite the bullet after that. And say yes or no, come and deal with it. You know. Because we can't deal with the kind of hard to have disclaimers from one department for 5 years running, 3 years running, and so on. It's just not on. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. Maybe to the first question that was raised, Mela. There are performance evaluations that are supposed to happen, and if you look into many reports, you'll actually see that there are performance bonuses given. Generally, benchmark is performance evaluations is done twice per year as a minimum. So that during the year, you give an indication to a person that, look, at the end of the year, we're going to do the final assessment, which has got increments and all that. Pull yourselves, do X, Y, Z, so that by the end of the year, you're not surprised when we say to you, you've not reached this performance. And there must be a very clear, again, SMART principle, performance. Each one must have the things that he or she is given to perform. He must have timeliness, he must have targets, what is the targets and what everything, has the person done that or not? Because that's first and foremost what the person gets paid for. So there is such a thing. And yes, it's the function of management then to say that, what was the gap? This is the job to be done. These are the competencies required to do the job. And this is how we've done the job. What is it in a variety of things? Was there a gap in competencies? If there's a gap in competencies, that's when training and development comes into the picture. And it's very important to close the gap. But sometimes, it's maybe the people did not do the job. And when I say did not do the job, I'm not necessarily talking about the incompetence of the performer. They're supposed to, where are the managers in all this? And that's my worry. That's what I'm asking about. It's the manager. One of the most important functions of a manager is the management of people. And management of people say that I'm also looking into their interest to perform, because if they perform, they make me shine. So therefore, I must be able to look after them that they perform. But then most importantly, again, going to what Mr. Munziz was talking about. Now, that's where, again, it's a matter of manager, you appointed this person, you deal with the problem. We want this to be delivered. You cannot have more of your resources and not, because what tends to happen, then they create two positions for one. And things like this start happening. But what I'm saying is to start holding managers responsible for management performance. Because performance is the management function, they've got to be able to do that. That's how I look at it. And then on the one-off use of consultants, whether are the consultants or the people that have appointed the consultants have the capacity, it should not be a problem if the terms of reference is very clear on what they should do. And there are very many sources. The auditor general is available to advise. I mean, as I said, there are three levels of report that the auditor general does. The first one is what we call the management letter or management report. That has got many issues that are identified. And I give an example that the last one I checked for the Department of Defense, the last time I was still here, it was more than 700 pages of findings categorized into many areas of performance or what they are in. Now, even if I was not capable, I'm saying, if I say to you, make sure that this is fixed and it's sustainable. And then the AG will come and check that you've done it, you know, something like that. Then it should not be a problem, because if you think about it, it's about thinking that what am I do? Then the case, because when the auditor general comes and says that, look, you still have a disclaimer, you've got X, Y, Z, then you go back to the consultant and say,
In terms of XYZ, the AG says there's a problem, engage him. And if he's right, there's a penalty clause. That's how contracts work. And that shouldn't be a difficulty. Because what we are talking about in terms of this consulting is clear output and deliverables. It's not like in a strategic thing. You know, in a strategy, a person can tell you anything. It's an exercise of judgment that it's difficult to argue about it. But this one shouldn't be a problem to check whether it can be done or not. Because all the general's offices are there to be able to help and whether this will address what I'm looking for or not. So it shouldn't be a problem. Now, what about the capacity of the consultants themselves? Again, it's very easy to eventually check what is the final report and the management comments, the letters that are coming. The only thing that we're worried about in most consultants that were used properly by others is whether it's sustainable and whether the information, you know, to do that. But again, I can assure you that if they consult and use the Auditor General, the Auditor General is not some ivory tower sitting there, it's available. And they've got to see what it is. They've got to see the Auditor General as a partner. He just cannot do your work because that would be conflict of interest. You can't do something and audit it. That's the only thing, but he will advise and give recommendations. And that's part of the principles that you've adopted as the AG. So on the use of the consultant is not a problem. And what you've done in the report that's coming, the one that's coming for me, is not in this one. As I said, feedback helps us to improve. We report specifically on the use of consultants and assistance by consultants. So I think we can engage more after that. You'll see it's specifically there. Because you may find that it may just not be possible to appoint those people, but sometimes they only come for a particular small period, they do that. The bulk of the work, in any case, must still be done by the municipality. For example, writing out the receipt for receipt of cash and banking the money on time and putting that in a file and doing that, really, I don't even think you need a matriculate for that. Mm. It's just a job that's got to be done. But when you start talking about the international standards of accounting and what and international financial regulatory systems, that you've got to classify this and what, that's basically what they do. And yes, it can be just a short period, but the bulk of the work must still be done by the people. It can't be a consultant that receives cash for you. It can't be the one that writes an expenditure and files and what and banks the money. It can't be the consultant that does some of those things. And most of instances, that's where it starts. That the basic work that's supposed to be done right at the onset has it been done properly. I think that's where it starts. And then we must actually even follow up. What are the consultants used for in terms of reference? You may find that what they are used for and their key performance indicators, what they've got to do is a problem. In fact, incidentally, Mr. Chan, we found that sometimes we've got internal audit departments and what, but what management has given them as a program to do, it's got nothing to do with the function that they should have concentrated on. They just became internal consultants for management. So it's some of those problems that sometimes that they create a problem, but not consulting itself per se. And then on the Mr. Harris, we wouldn't leave you dry. We're saying that what we are just saying is that if I know, I can tell you, for example, that let's say an audit costs 1.5 million rand, and we know it's going to be a disclaimer. Should we rather not agree that let's make it half the price, go and see these things first, let me come and check and just on a visit to do this? We know what we're going to find. Mm-hmm. Because you see also from us as an audit, the more the mess, the more time we're going to spend there. Because you are unraveling what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why we're doing that, for we are not letting them off the hook. But what we do, however, if you go to page 37, we will not give you the details, but it's a good indicator for you to start telling municipalities, do your work. Because if you go to page 37, we summarize them. We say, and we've got details for each municipality that we can go to, that each audit office in the AG can tell you. If you go to page 37, we say results of audit of performance information of municipalities. And we say it's the overview of the results of the auditing of performance information. So we are giving the overview. We are not going to detail at the moment and give an opinion. We say common findings resulting from the Auditor General of South Africa audit of performance information at municipalities related to the following. No reporting of performance information. Some just don't do it at all. And that's what we are talking about. So we are saying, do it first before we can give an opinion on it. We can't give an opinion on nothing. There's some of the things that you find that I said that just that lack of compliance. So we are giving an indication. Which are the ones that don't do it? Then we can go and sit down on them and say, first do it. Then we say, lack of internal auditing of performance measurements. That they are supposed to check in terms of some requirements and not that they review those things and they get done. And then it says the other one, inadequate content on the integrated development plan. And IDP is supposed to be the cornerstone of service delivery at a local level. Now, it is, and then we say performance information not received on time for audit purposes. It's just equivalent to bullet one is not done. So we are giving an indication of the things that make it difficult for us to even start auditing it in the first place. So, and we've expanded on the next report that's coming a little bit to for each of those things to go to at least what are the issues that we are raising. So we've expanded a little bit. But we would not be able to leave you high and dry. On the next one, just like on the consultants, as I was indicating to the honorable member, that you'll find that we're giving a little bit more information. But we certainly are also saying that, and these are the issues where I think as members would say, but executive authorities, ministers, DGs, these things must be done. When is it going to be done? That I think so we wouldn't leave you kind of. I understand about the control, command and control, that thing should be done. And that's basically what we are saying is that actually it should be the other way around. It should be management saying that I've got capacity gaps here and I'm looking for assistance. It should not be your role to go and look for it. So yes, what are the issues that you're supposed to do? When are you going to do that? And come the time, have you done them completely on time and of quality? Should be the other way around, that then they must come up and say, I'm looking for this assistance and capacity. Not you now going to be there, because then you've got, you may as well take over management if you cross that line, if you cross that religion. And then they can turn around and say, but you interfered in my management, you intervened. That's why I could not do my job. And that would be the risk.
Sure. Robert?
Yeah,
I'll
just
say
members
the deputy chair. Are there any other outstanding work to be done? I see your practical exercise. I see this as part of the practical exercise, taking us through the document. Explaining the tables, etc. Yes,
Chairperson, since when we arrived here, we were sworn in as an MP and followed by orientation, time again, with books and why this thing can't be done on this municipality. We said, okay, we're employ this, but you take them through like ourselves. We can reach somewhere, really. Thanks.
Chair, do you remember that one municipality in Northern Cape that appointed consultants to do their financial statements, and because they were claiming that the municipality is small. But the amount of money that they paid the consultant was exorbitant, that it equals appointing a qualified person to work for the municipality.
That's a real picture when we get when we visit municipalities and provinces. Remarked by Abel Macabella about the training of our municipal officials. Saga is trying to do it, but I'm coming back to the point I made. How do you know it can be implemented by the person that went through the workshop or the training? You can train until kingdom come. That person won't be able to do it. We're sitting in Kamishberg. Kamishberg is in Northern Cape in the Namakwa region. With that situation. And a decision will be taken on Friday to remove the leadership there. Because there isn't, there's zero leadership.
No, that's true, Mr. Beer. I think training must be done to improve on identified gaps. If you have not identified what is the problem, you know, it will be difficult to propose and come with training. And that's why I say it should probably be the other way around. Let it be the person indicating where their gaps are and then asking to be assisted with closing the gap. Okay. Mr. Chairman, we then have this particular exercise just as an indicator. It is not a fully fledged one, which is based on page 115 that we're talking about. And just two performance measures are being used. The first one is that the department said it wants to increase the reach of integrated quality early childhood development services, including grade R, and especially to the most marginalized communities. Now, it says some 700,000 learners, age 5. Yes. Some 700,000 learners, age 5, enrolled for grade R. That was their target. And their activity would be to develop roll-out plans for grade R at national and provincial level as determined by the norms and standards for funding of grade R. Performance indicators, some 700,000 learners, 85 enrolled for grade R with special focus on primary schools in quintiles 1, 2, and 3. Now, they say that the details of total of 561,000 learners enrolled for grade R in public and independent schools were captured. The number for grade R learners at community sites are estimated 200,000. The focus on rollout resources and support has been on quintiles 1, 2, and 3 schools. Now, before we come to the comments, is the whether during when the budgeting was done, that is it adequate, the measures they have given themselves? Because the first one, it says they didn't indicate, okay, they didn't indicate a number in the strategic objective itself, but they indicated it in the measure. But then they also said marginalized. How do you know that it was a marginal community? Now, those are the type of things that, as I say, it would have been answered. But how are we going to know that it's a marginalized? Because, yes, it's 200,000. How do we, 200,000 people that you say you have reached. Before we even come to the other 500 that you have not, do we know why 700,000? Not more or not less. Now, those are the types of questions that you want to engage in. And that's, those are the issues that one would say that one way or another should have been clarified, for example. That's why we say that on the exercise, determine what the actual achievement for the year was, what was the extent of the over underachievement by the department. And then consider whether the explanation provided in the comments column is acceptable. What recommendation would you make to the minister of the department regarding future reporting at this stage? What I do know is what I've just discussed as an example that I would have wanted to say that, yes, we know that we were at a World Bank workshop and indicated some statistics that say that in as much as South Africa is not as financially under-resourced like other African states, but in terms of the coefficients that they use for poverty, they found that in terms of education and poverty, it's as high or worse than others. Therefore, marginalized is a good thing that they were trying to do. But how do we know that you've reached the marginalized? Because we know on quite a number of things where money is involved, it would have not happened.
So what? How do we know that? That's the one thing that should have been part of, when you look at the SMART principle, it should have been part of that. And what monitoring was going to be there? Because if you look into the activities, what monitoring is it going to be there? Who's going to be held responsible for that performance? Who's doing that, you know, those types of things? Who's monitoring for you? Is it the provincial departments of education? Is the local communities or local government involved? Those types of things are not very clear here for you to be able to know. And then it says that 561,000 learners enrolled for grade R in public and independent schools. How many independent schools? How many public schools? If there was more for independent than public schools, why? And how do we know that those who are marginalized? What is the standard or the yardstick that you do that it was to say it was for marginalized ones? And you could say then, and this is the critical one, once they had given a plan like that, you were talking about the strategic plan, Mr. Shwani, then you say, then you may choose as a committee maybe to visit one or two sites to go and see for yourself the different ones. Then it becomes a site visit as oversight to go and see for yourself. There is this, I don't forget this, when Mr. Mkabile was still the chairperson of the Public Affairs Committee in the Eastern Cape, he says that there was this department that actually in agriculture did so well, they actually didn't celebrate it as well. And then they decided to go and see this tip farmer that they did as well. There was never something like that, never ever. Nobody was ever in that place in the mountains and what and everything. But it was something that even the NDC had at that stage some years back that had done. And so that's why sometimes they would say that as part of just satisfying yourself, yes, you can't go to all of them, but you must say that let's visit the three categories. Or it's true that they've given here. They talk about public schools and they talk about independent schools. You say you want to see those ones and you want to see that it's particularly the marginalized communities, because you've now given us the effect and what you can go and check and see for yourself, because that's the city delivered. Those are the type of the practical things of using the annual report for accountability program. There you go. Now, what they say also is that, on their comments, they say 200,000 grade R learners are estimated to be at community-based sites that are currently do not form part of the collection of educational data services. In total, there are more than 700,000 learners in grade R. This figure is included in the target set for the next financial year. Now, I don't understand that comment, first and foremost.
The number. Yeah.
And they are also saying, in short, that they are not able to collect information. How did you roll funds? How did you roll out funds without making sure that I'm going to get what I want? I mean, it's as simple again as that. They've already rolled out funds. How much did it cost them to do this? How much did they roll out? How could you roll out funds without ensuring if you cannot educate? And I think those are the type of the issues that we are saying. That not supposed to be complicated, difficult, and just using their own information say, but it does not make sense. And say, go and show up. You'll find that the person has never left his office. But you may find that the person has been overseas 5 times in the period, but was never able to go 5 times to go and see this site. And that's the type of practical example that we thought one could do. And that's one of the things that then as a program you tell them that And what you are saying is correct. For example, I'm saying I'm doing the general report I've indicated to you. My general report, the auditor general must have 7 working days to review it. He must have 7 working days, and there are timelines set by when it must be received. If I don't get it by that time, it eats on his time and other issues.
Yes.
So that's part of the performance, and that's why you must insist that we need to have our information by so much, because we can be overwhelmed with too much information. Some of the information that may not necessary. I mean, if you look into the third performance measure, that the next one that was there, it was saying that management of expansion plans. What type of measure is that? Management. It says nothing. It's, you can get anything. There's nothing specific that you can rule the person for. At least that other one does have a target of 700, can start working on that. And it's already got question mark. But then, that other one, now, this one, for example, you can see teaching and learning of the grade R curriculum in all grade R classes. How do you know that that was done? Because it is not a measure. Now, what must a measure have? It must have timelines. It must be measurable. It must have a target. That we've done this. You must be able to have a target. Now, in this one, it does not have that. And it must be realistic. Now, management, when somebody says management of, what does management mean? Management is an open definition with no end.
On the table. Plans done, payment, certified, paid out, and recommissioned. Now people want to go and see the road to commission it. Yeah? Then there is no road to be found.
I don't know if Mr. Chan is aware, Mr. Dier, that in the Northwest, in the financial year that just passed last month, that 540, close to about 500 million was spent within 3 months by the Department of Roads. Now, that does tell you that there's something wrong that has happened. And of course, try to drive to the Northwest in terms of the roads and the quality of the roads that are being built. That does tell you that there's something wrong. So, and it also says to you that someone did not do his or her job when you go to that. Because first and foremost, the provincial treasury is supposed to release funds quarterly and what and everything. How come is the whole budget used up within 3 months of the financial year? But also, how was the portfolio committee? Now I'm also looking at you yourselves as members. How was the portfolio committee able to do the in-year monitoring, and how was the budget passed? Now, this is the, when we're looking about this one, what measurable predetermined objectives did you have? Because that's where the key lies. And then the MEC, where was he or she when those things happened? That's why I say, Mr. Munzi, when I say that you don't want to go to that extent, but then you stand up in the house and ask the MEC that please explain to us. Okay, it was the previous MEC, we understand that, but how was it possible? Somewhere, somehow, some function, just because we got control in terms of the TFMA of what must happen in the release of the mine. And the one is National Treasure. They are supposed to send you a quarterly in-year monitoring report.
And then,
Mr. Chani, that helps you then when I was talking about your strategic plan must follow this format. So the format is not even negotiable. You should have actually be able to concentrate on the substance, not the form. The format must meet your needs. That one. But here, you should be... And this is the type of thing where, when I was saying, Mr. Muntisi, that, you know, the biggest power you've got is about the budget. You send them back. You say that, you know what, we actually want to give you even more money, for example, early childhood. But this does not cut it. Go and read properly. And if you are not here within the week, we will suspend that for this while and we'll talk to the MEC whether there's a need for you to be in the department. We are going to give to other needy resources. A little bit of stretch and target will actually get people to do that. It has not happened. And I think managers are not stupid. They know that you'll be afraid to stop approval of budget. So also be clever and smart. Say, no, we are not going to not approve it. We are just not going to approve this one. But then you are going to tell us what will you be doing by then because you are not performing. And then you stand up and tell the community you have not approved the budget because this guy has not given, and this is where you are also not using the media properly because they will go out and say that, no, Parliament did not approve that. But no, you go also to the media and say, no, these people have not done their job, etc. That will put the pressure on the executive authority to do something about it. Because the public does not know that because you never say that as Parliament yourself. You go for that, this is then you say that. The only time you see executive authorities paying attention is when on the media they start asking them, not you. Because at the moment they will make Parliament look useless. That's what would be the perception. So the executive authority will start paying attention to the people that are not performing. It's by removing pressure from yourself and shifting it back to them. The second example that we have is on page 225. Myself and Mr. Chani
have to join the House Chair in the NA for another meeting.
Okay. What actually we are trying to quickly indicate there is that if you go to paragraph 8 of that report, it says that, let's start with paragraph 7, it says, the AG says, I'm more or less satisfied with how the record have been put together. Mm-hmm. But then he goes to number 8. He says, without qualifying my opinion, I draw attention to note 1.1, which describes the basis of accounting. The department's policies to prepare financial statements on the modified cash basis of accounting determined by the National Treasury. Now, in short, he's drawing your attention that there was not done properly that way. That's the first thing, without going to the detail. But the second one, under paragraph 8, again, it says other matters. It says, without qualifying my opinion, I draw attention to the following matters that relate to my responsibility in the auditor financial statement, governance framework. The governance principles that impact on the auditor's opinion on the financial statements are related to the responsibilities and practices exercised by accounting officer and executive management and are reflected in key governance responsibilities addressed below. And those are the ones that are highlighted there. That this is how the person has performed. Again, you've got a tick. Now you can also be able to congratulate the person, the accounting officer, and say that you see, there are no significant deficiencies that we found in these issues. Now he's drawing there that this is what we have used. He's indicating whether there were deficiencies. He says, no significant deficiencies were experienced during the audit. delays and what and everything, then you'll understand why the person has had a fair presentation of qualified opinion. That's because that governance table I was talking about of six indicators, these people took their trouble to try to get it right, and it's not rocket science. And what, so one of the issues is, therefore, once you've gone through that, and Mr. Chuan, you've gone through that program, the report, the way we've done, on the finance report, what we are saying is, rather go and worry yourself about the financial statement, the income statement, don't become an accountant. Go to the Auditor General report. And then the cash flow statement, which as we are offering, we can come and do that as a training on how to use that, and the net asset statement. Those are the main ones that you must worry about. But other than that, you must go into the other matters that the Auditor General is raised. Because you'll see that from his report, he's got quite a lot of issues that he's raising under other matters. Under other matters. He says, okay, we find out that now, and he also says on page 247, he says, report on other legal and regulatory requirements. And that's where I was talking about on page 247. And that's where we're talking about the attitude towards other requirements and legal requirements. Now, what does they say? He says there, now from 16, he says, inadequate quarterly reporting on performance information. There you are. He says, although this guy has done okay on average to be able to get a mark, but in terms of the treasury regulation, that was not done. And that's where we talk about warning signals and say that things can easily go back. And remember, we're talking about the department. We know one of the biggest problems in South Africa is exactly the fact that we don't have adequate skilled people. And if you concentrate on education, you can probably see some of those things. So education is very important, and the budget is very big. And then they talk about the usefulness and reliability of reported performance information there. Although we are not, and that's what I was saying to Mr. Harris, that although we are not reporting, but we're giving you information that, please, look into these things, must be addressed. They are not addressed. Somebody must be doing this job and is not doing it. And then on the next one, on 18, it says, reported performance information not relevant. And that's the key again. You've got all these people that have performed for the year, but they've done things that are not relevant. They've done their own thing. And I think that that's just a practical example that we can give on some of the issues that have happened on the department.
No, thank you. Paul, no, thank you very much for taking us through that. I believe we have learned something in the short space of time since yesterday. Having a crash course, usually it takes 3 days. Honourable members, yes, it also emphasizes our responsibility. I think it's bigger than you think. We are the members, and all not together, said when we were swamping, we raised our hand. Mm-hmm. And say we would upheld the Constitution, part of the spending of money, and now it will be one of but the president said that we would have to do things differently. And take people to account. And I want to make this remark, that when we go to our constituencies at least once a month, that we sit with our municipalities, our council, with our specific political party and to share the information that we have to share with them, but vice versa, that they share their information with us, and sensitize them and give them no portion to monitor the administration in the municipality, and they are sometimes afraid to do it. I experienced it in my region. The reports that comes from National Treasury on the spending specific in our municipalities. Because it is specific. You can get the information that your specific municipality where you are employed. Then lastly, our tracking mechanism, when we as a committee take resolutions, how do we follow up on the resolution we took that was adopted in the House? What is our follow-up procedure? In that sense, we would like to go back to Pumalanga where we visited the strategies last year in September, the machine yesterday. Because we submitted the report, the report was adopted in the House, but what now? So we would like to go do a follow-up for one day to see what happened. Request those municipalities to in advance send us the progress report before we go there. I think then we can be more effective and also efficient. Mr. Boethers, Mr. Aircraft,